Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of this program, for we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. You know, when you look at it from the devil's standpoint, there are some pretty great things about being lost. And we'd like to look at it from his standpoint for the time that we have together this morning on the program. The greatest thing about being lost from the devil's viewpoint, understand me, is that you can make God whatever you want him to be. We know that God cannot be changed into an image that is created by man. We know that from Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. It said that they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and the birds, and the four-footed beast, and creeping things. You see, God has not been changed, but man's perception of God has changed. When people start to fashion God after their own personal likes and dislikes, we ought to see why that being lost is such a wonderful thing. You can believe whatever you want to believe. Any plan of salvation will save. And we can call evil good and good evil, like they did in the days of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 5, it's in verse 20 that says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Yes, the great thing about being lost is you can make God whatever you want him to be. Another great thing about being lost, and again we're talking about it from the devil's viewpoint, is that you can always find someone that will say you're not lost. You know, imagine driving in your car and getting lost, and when you stop and ask for directions, somebody tells you that you're not lost. Isn't it more comforting to be told that everything's okay, rather than being told that you're lost? You see, this is the reason why people would rather find others and preachers who will tell them, as what the Bible says, fables, that is, things that are not the truth. We read about this in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Notice as we begin reading in verse 2, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables." You see, when you want to be told that something is fine, you'll have very little difficulty in finding someone who will tell you just what you want to hear. It'll cause us to feel good, but lies only deceive us. Another thing about that what makes being lost so great is that you can do whatever you want. You know, it's clear that the person, it's clear that the reason most people are lost is because they're doing what they choose to do. Being your own boss, even in the spiritual realm, is something that's highly desirable. But, you know, the problem with this is that man doesn't know what's best for him. It's in Jeremiah chapter 10, we read this in verse 23. He says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. Also, the proverb writer made this statement in Proverbs chapter 12, when he said in verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You see, giving in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life are desires that are very satisfying. They're very satisfying temporarily. It's in the book of 1 John that we read in chapter 2, verse 15 beginning, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. It's in the book of Hebrews that we read in chapter 11, and verse 25, these words concerning Moses. Let's back up and read, starting with verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So we see that it would have been much easier for Moses to have gave in to being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, to have had everything that most human beings want, and that is wealth, power, and recognition. He could have had all of those. But, as the bastard says, he chose rather to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, because he knew they were for a season. And that just simply means that the pleasures of sin are temporary. To satisfy fleshly lust is to sin, and that brings forth spiritual death, that is, separation of us from God. James says this in James chapter 1, when he starts in verse 14, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. See, but when we are lost and we are in enjoying it, we don't think about the consequences. And that's the way the devil would have it to be. Also, the greatest thing about being lost, and again we're talking about this from the devil's standpoint, is that you can always say that you can change, but you just don't want to. You know, nobody likes to admit that they are a slave to sin. Yet, this is what it really means to be lost. We read about being a slave to sin in Romans chapter 6. First of all, Paul begins to talk about the fact that though we are saved by the grace of God, God's grace does not give us permission, it does not give us a license to continue to sin. So he asked the question in verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Then he says in verse 2, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So we see that though God has bestowed his grace upon us and he has shown us his grace through the sending of his Son, Christ coming into the world, suffering and dying and going to the cross, and on the cross bear our sins in his body, we are to no longer serve sin, because when we were baptized, as he says, we were baptized into Christ. We were baptized into his death. So then, as we were buried with Christ through baptism, then as Christ rose from the dead by the glory of the Father, we come forth from that burial of baptism, as he says, to walk in the newness of life. More times than not, the word walk used in the scriptures simply refers to the manner of life, a way of life. So we are raised to walk in a newness of life. And so then he says that if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, then we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. We know that this likeness that Paul is talking about is the fact that Jesus died, he was buried, and he raised again. The likeness that we are seeing here is we are dead in sin. We are buried with him in baptism. We are raised to walk in a newness of life. That is, our sins have been forgiven. So then he asked the question in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that is, with Christ, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And then he says in verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, that the life that he lives to God. And then he says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So it is then that this amounts to the same thing to say that we are not a slave to sin is to walk up and we want to impress and we want to tell him that you can pick up a car by one hand, but you know you can't do it. If this is childish and irresponsible behavior, then so is the other. That is saying that we're going to change, but we just don't want to. You know, at times when people are lost, they know it, but brag that they'll soon, someday, stop. But they just don't want to do it right now. It's no wonder that this kind of person enjoys being lost, because he thinks it's the right thing for him right now. But the truth is, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 10, now is the accepted time for salvation. Friends, really, there is nothing great about being lost. It's only great when we look at it from the standpoint of the devil. We see our time is gone. We thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM, and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.